And we're back. I'm Mia Zachary, and I'm here at Village Connector Media with my mentor, my soulmate, my traveling companion on the path to enlightenment, Glenn Garnes.
You forgot to mention IHOP partner and Chipotle amigo.
I did forget that, probably because we're not eating at the moment for a change.
And they're not sponsors either, by the way.
Oh, no, they're not. They're not. We just love them. They don't pay us to do that.
But they should.
But they should. So I am so glad to have you here with me today. In fact, I was thinking before we started recording that I wouldn't be here at all today if not for you and your guidance and your introducing me to some great resources for personal growth. So I really appreciate that.
Well, you know from our constant conversations that when the student is ready, the teacher will appear. And apparently you were ready to receive these gifts of knowledge and wisdom. And this isn't coming from me, of course. I simply opened your mind to the idea of picking up books relating to personal development, embracing certain concepts, or at least exploring certain concepts. And then you made the decision as to whether to embrace them or not. So I like to think that while you call me a mentor, I think that I was simply here to deliver a message to you that you decided to receive well. And that's why you're here.
Well, I consider a mentor not so much someone who's your teacher, but someone who's guiding you on the path that they're already walking. And so that's why I choose to use that phrase with you.
All right, that works for me because Okay. Actually that's very much in harmony with how I perceive my role in other people's lives as it relates to personal development, because I'm not an expert at this. I'm a student of these teachings the same way as you are. I may be a little bit further down the road, and that might be the reason that I can hopefully provide some guidance, at least with respect to what my personal experience has been. But I'm very much a student of this knowledge as opposed to someone who has mastered it to the point where I can claim expertise. So I just want to be clear that this journey is for you to explore, not necessarily to accept Glenn's interpretation or Glenn's wisdom on it, so to speak. If that helps you, great. If not, then keep searching.
And I really appreciate that, because your admitting to that gave me permission to do this podcast in the first place. When the idea first came to me, I was extremely hesitant because I felt like I'm not an expert. I'm really new to this. I can't manifest the kind of, you know, wow results like Tony Robbins' resort in Fiji or, you know, Joel Osteen's, you know, fancy car or whatever. But I was at a networking event recently, and the speaker said something that just really blew a hole in my thinking and gave me permission. She said, "Lift as you climb." And I thought, okay, great. I don't have to be at the top of this. I don't have to be so far ahead of everyone else that I'm looking down on them. Anyone who's interested in taking this journey, I can just, you know, reach a hand back, pay it forward, and bring them up as I go up.
And that's one of the reasons I really love the fact that you decided to go forward with the podcast, because, you know, if you have one life experience that inspires someone else to join you on the journey and let them discover their own truth, then waiting until you feel that you are the expert is actually depriving them of the opportunity to start their own journey immediately.
But I feel like in our society, it's all about credibility. And there are so many people making claims to be able to change your life and change your mindset and make you rich that I got caught up in that at first and thought, who the heck's going to listen to me? I don't know what I'm doing. But I think the fact that I'm admitting I don't know what I'm doing, I'm learning, I'm searching, I'm exploring, hopefully gives other people permission to do the same.
And, you know, that's a great observation. I can't help but think that one of the reasons that this podcast, I believe, is so, and the whole project Elemental Abundance is so perfect, is that we have to learn how to uncondition ourselves to accept societal beliefs and truisms, and to embrace the natural laws of the universe, which have nothing to do with the expectations that society sets for us. It's a mindset shift. And
it's an unthinking.
In a lot of ways it is, or a rethinking.
Or rethinking,
that's,
yeah.
That's right, a rethinking for sure. So you were willing to open your mind. You had some things going on in your life that, you know, you were getting results that you were not happy with, and you were open to the idea of looking through a slightly different lens than the one that you had been conditioned by society to embrace. And that opened up a whole different view for you of like the interpretation of what was happening in your life. Things like, you know, we talked about this, and we talk about this incessantly, but what happens to you happens for you. You were looking at things happening to you, not realizing what is that making me? How is that preparing me for the future? You know, where is that playing a role that I can actually leverage in a way that gets me to where I want to go? And most people, they go through life, they're not even paying attention to the fact that there may be some things happening that don't feel real comfortable or aren't like the desired result or the one they had in mind, but they don't look for where the good was in it.
Right.
And so their interpretation is off, and therefore the meaning of that event to them is off.
And I think even before you can get to the point where you realize that what happens to you happens for you, you have to realize that what happens to you, you did that.
Exactly.
You know, your past decisions, your past actions, your past thought processes are what brought you to this moment that you feel like, you know, life is happening to you. And I think until you take that responsibility and realize, hey, I'm broke, I'm homeless, I'm jobless because of some decisions that I made and some really small thinking, you can't move into, all right, all of these things happen for me, because now I can use that as a basis to say, hey, you know what? December 31st, New Year's Eve, 2014, I was broke. I was about to be homeless and I was about to lose my job. But thanks to my embracing abundance, my embracing a different way of thinking, it allowed me to get through that without panicking, without crying, without breaking down, without falling apart, because I knew that there is no such thing as scarcity, that there is always more of everything. And that is a huge monumental shift for me. And it's a little bit, I don't want to say unbelievable, but kind of like miraculous. The difference between where I was in March of 2012 versus March of 2015, I am literally and figuratively a completely different person. Why? Because in March of 2012, I made a decision to change my mind.
Exactly. And that was an empowerment opportunity. That was an empowerment event for you, because you begin to accept responsibility for the outcomes that were coming into your life, the circumstances, the consequences, whatever you want to call them. And when you accept responsibility for the outcomes, what that means is that you start to understand that you, if you understand that you created that, that's also an indication that you have the ability to create something else once you're conscious of the fact that what's coming into your life is being created by you. And so
that's a huge concept.
Yeah,
I think we might need to save that one for another session.
That's a whole other session. But let me just finish one thought on that, because you could spend the entire podcast for the rest of eternity getting people to understand that. But let me just lay this out here in this very quick and simple way, which is that if you can create misery, if you can create misery in your life, you can create mastery of your life. And that's really what personal development is all about.
That's really good. Say that one more time.
If you can create misery in your life, you can create mastery of your life.
Wow, I like that.
And I don't know where that came from, except that you know how.
Okay, we'll look it up, because you know how I'm about giving credit to the original
source.
No,
that's not what I'm talking about. It didn't come from somebody else.
Ooh, that's another one of those moments.
Exactly.
I love having those moments. And it's like once I opened myself up to one thing, I kind of have been opened up to a lot of other things. That's really great. And, you know, I'm not going to lie. I have some truly miserable people in my life. And it's been really hard to spend time with them because, you know, they're not intentionally, maybe not even consciously, trying to bring me down. They're like, okay, your job is ending in 3 days. What are you going to do? How, you know, have you looked for a job? Or what do you, you know, what's going to happen? It's like, I'm not worried about this. The universe is going to take care of it. My life is amazing. I love my life. I'm happy. And they're looking at me like I have lost my damn mind.
So let's make a list of them. What are their names?
No. No. I'm looking forward to within the next couple months going, see, I told you so.
You won't, and see, here's the beautiful thing about the journey that you're on. When that moment comes, when you can tell them, see, I told you so, you won't want to.
That's true.
You'll be bigger than that. It won't matter to you.
And that is really what I wanted to talk to you about today, about creating better and thinking bigger. And that all starts with this thing that we keep hearing about. You know, if you're out there and you're listening, that means you're on a personal journey and you're searching for something, the same thing that we've been searching for. And I'm sure that in all the bookstores and on the podcasts and on the internet, you keep hearing this word, abundance. So what exactly is this abundance stuff? So I looked it up in the dictionary, and the first definition is extreme plenty or overflowing fullness. Okay, that's nice, but you know, what exactly is extreme plenty and overflowing fullness? Because most of that of us have not experienced that yet. Because most of us actually think of abundance as the second definition, which is affluence and wealth. And we equate that with money. And what I'm hoping to share with you, what I intend to share with you during this podcast, is the fact that wealth has nothing to do with the paper and the coins that we have decided have more value than the universal laws that mean so much more.
Yeah, and I think that when you talk about wealth, what society considers to be wealth, meaning, you know, the monetary and the physical manifestation of wealth, while that's important because it usually is an indicator that you are understanding how to create abundance, it is simply a representation, a reminder that you are in control of the ability to master your life. And so wealth for the sake of wealth is not the point. Wealth as an indicator that you are able to take responsibility for creating in your life, that's kind of, it's, you know, for me, wealth is kind of a dashboard indicator that shows that you understand the formula. You understand how to create what you want in your life. And because of the way society works, wealth is something that's necessary to fully experience life, because wealth is also a value exchange. When you go out to buy a car, the reason someone is willing to give you the car is because you're exchanging value with them in the form of a monetary exchange. But the reason you're willing to give that monetary exchange is that you get value from the thing that they've created. And so when people acquire wealth and then they exchange wealth with other people for the things that they would like to have in their life, that's actually, in my opinion, a very good thing, because it shows that there's creation taking place all around us, and that we are sharing through the exchange of, you know, monetary value, our creativity. You know, something caused you to be capable of generating that wealth, and something caused somebody else to create something that you were willing to exchange your wealth for to acquire. That means that creativity is taking place at all times, everywhere we go. Anytime someone's willing to give money for a thing, whether it be service or a physical thing, or an idea, you know, a nonprofit organization. When you donate money to a charity, it's because somebody created something that inspired you to share. And I know that nobody in this audience is thinking about money and wealth in that fashion, but that's what I visualize when I see that, you know, someone has the wealth to do this, that, or the other thing, is that they created first. The wealth was the end result, the dashboard indicator that creation took place, and that they now have the ability to go out and acquire things that they want that were created by other people.
And I love the fact that you shared that ideal, because most people think of wealth in terms of what they don't have. And you know, the richer you are, you must be a bad person. You must have gotten that by, you know, means of cheating or getting over on other people. But, you know, the one thing that you have to remember is that the more you have, the more you can give. And that's what really wealth will allow you to do. But beyond the money, which is a good thing, it's a good thing. Having money is not bad. Money is not evil. It's not the root of evil. It's the love of money that could potentially be bad, according to some Christian philosophies. But what I'm learning and what I'm excited about is, yes, absolutely, I love Wallace Waddle's book, The Science of Getting Rich, because when you get rich, there are two things that happen. Number one, you create abundance in your own life. And when that cup overfloweth, it's going to overfloweth onto everyone else around you, and it's going to enrich their lives as well. But the other thing that it does is it's going to inspire somebody to say, hey, if she could do it, if he could do it, then so can I. And so I'm not a scientist. I don't pretend that I am. But the reason that this is called elemental abundance is because I'm really fascinated by the combination of classical physics and sciences with metaphysics. And so the next definition of abundance is actually the one that I like best, and it comes from chemistry. In chemistry, abundance is a measure of how common an element is in a given environment. I'm going to say that one more time because I want you to really hear me on this. Abundance is a measure of how common an element is in a given environment. And so the reason that I relate this to wealth is my bank account may not show value in dollars and coins, but I am a wealthy woman indeed. I am wealthy because I have abundance in love. I am wealthy because I have abundance in friendship. In these given environments, health, happiness, love, creativity, curiosity, responsibility, parenting, in all of these given environments, how common is the element of abundance? It's prevalent in all of them.
And you know, it's funny that you should say, that you should reference those intangibles, if you will, because having an appreciation of the value of those assets, all those things, creativity, imagination, love, family, friendship, having an appreciation of the value of those assets is what eventually brings the monetary manifestation in the form of a big bank account. And so most people find themselves in a position of wanting the big bank account and not understanding what creates, they don't know where money comes from, in other words. And so they have no appreciation for how to create wealth in their lives. And wealth is usually created by providing value.
By giving. That's
right. It's exactly right. And so when you have friends and you choose to invest in your friends by helping when they need something, by exchanging information and ideas, by feeding their energy, their need for your attention, your community, so to speak, your companionship, even. You're creating the circumstances that are going to bring the monetary manifestation of abundance to you, which is cash. And I want to, if I could just backtrack for a minute on the issue of the money being the root of all evil. That's obviously something that we have been conditioned from society and culture to believe. I won't get into the details about why society wants us to feel guilty about acquiring wealth or about being in a comfortable position in our lives, but that's another day.
We've heard it since we were kids. Absolutely. Money doesn't grow on trees. What am I made of money?
Exactly. So here's another thing to think about. And this has just been my own experience. As I look around and I see people that have accumulated great wealth, I see that most people that I have encountered, I've studied, did not acquire wealth by taking it or diminishing other people to get it. They created through an idea that caused people to want to participate in their idea. When you are buying an iPhone, you are participating in Apple and Steve Jobs' idea of the iPhone. He didn't snooker you into buying an iPhone. You know, in fact, I don't know that there are very many people that return their iPhone saying, hey, I was tricked into getting this iPhone. You know, so when someone accumulates great wealth, it's because they offered great value. The other thing that I observe is that when you think about the phrase money is the root of all evil, or even the love of money is the root of all evil, I don't even believe that to be accurate. What I believe to be accurate, or a full expression of the concept of money, is that the character of money is determined by how a person chooses to use it. So you could love money and not have that be the root of all evil if you're using it to benefit others. You know, I love money. And I love money because the more I get, the more I can do, not just for myself, but for others. And there are so many people in my life that I've been blessed to be able to be there at the right time when they needed something. That if I was
and
one,
I'm
of the,
one of them, time and time again.
Well, you know, and I really experience great joy by being in a position to be helpful to people at a time when they need it. If I was one of those people who believed that money was the root of all evil, I'd be pushing it away, and then I would have to simply tell you, hey, you're on your own. There's nothing I can do. Sorry, I'm broke too.
Right.
You know, that kind
right.
of thing. So I like to think that the character of money, the character of wealth, is determined more by what you choose to do with it. Some people choose to do what are perceived to be evil things with it. Some people do what is perceived to be good things.
Selfish
with it.
Things.
That's right. Some people, they do selfish things. The reason I'm saying perceived to be is because that's also a judgment as well. Someone goes out and buys a new yacht. That can be perceived by some people as selfish, but it also could be perceived to some people as fulfilling a dream.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you really wanted to have a yacht, you should have one.
Yeah.
And no one should judge you for that. But my point is that whatever people's perceptions are about money, it really is a matter of their value system.
Right.
If you believe money is evil, money will be evil to you. If you believe that money does good, money will do good.
I love that. I love that. And what you said about, you know, Steve Jobs not snookering you into buying that iPhone, it goes back to, I think, one of the fundamental philosophies in Wallace Waddell's book, The Science of Getting Rich, the fact that we are here not to compete, but to collaborate. And when you use money as an exchange of value, when you see it as a true exchange of something of value for something else of value, then we're both wealthy in that exchange.
Exactly. And there, you know that Wallace Waddles is one of my favorite teachers, and that's one of the reasons I introduced
really?
That.
Really? I had no idea since I've read that book 18 times now.
All right, so you're being a little bit flip with me, but I'm going to allow you to do that today, at least until we turn the microphones off. But one of my other teachers, my other favorite teacher, is a person who I have a great deal of respect for, as you know, is Napoleon Hill. And Dr. Hill, I'm going to paraphrase this because none of this is rehearsed. We're just chit-chatting. I don't know where you're going with any of this. And, you know, we talked a little bit at the beginning about what you wanted to talk about today, but we agreed that we were just going to let this go for as long as it went and just
exactly,
wherever it goes.
Exactly.
So if we appear
to be. These conversations are absolutely organic. We're sitting here in Studio B at Village Connector Media, just having a conversation between two people who love each other and are exploring what abundance means.
Exactly. And so if we appear to be like all over the board.
That's because we are.
That's because we are. We're just having a conversation and you're here listening to it. But here's the other thing I know for sure. If you are hearing this and if you are listening and if you're still listening, you were meant to hear these things. So even though they may be here and there and everywhere, you needed to hear this message because the universe is perfect and putting you in front of things that you're calling into your life. So if you're still listening, keep listening.
And I know we're going to get comments about that, about the universe being perfect and the timing being perfect. So go ahead, shoot us the questions, shoot us the comments to feelgood@elementalabundance.com because I know we're going to hear about that one.
Your email box is going to be blowing up. So,
but you were going to paraphrase Dr. Hill.
So Dr. Hill has a definition of success that I absolutely love. He's a big believer in setting a definite chief aim, meaning a goal or something specific, something that you can quantify that you're working towards, and coming up with a plan for how you will attain it, and then inviting people who are in your circle of influence to cooperate with you in the attainment of the goal. In fact, he's got a whole lesson on that devoted to just that process. But his definition of success is achieving your definite chief aim without violating the rights of others. Now, if you were to apply that definition, the vast majority of all wealth in the world is accumulated by people who have done something that added value, and they did not steal it. They did not, you know, con someone out of the money. We see that happen too, but that's not the way the majority of wealth is created.
And it harmed none.
That's right. Not only did it not harm others, but it actually enhanced the life of others.
Absolutely.
Think about Bill Gates and his creation of the idea for Microsoft. every life on the planet has been enhanced in some fashion by being more efficient, having more information available. You know, without the Windows operating system, we probably would not have had the internet at the level that we do. Computers, we would have, you know, it would have been more laborious to get access to information that now enhances the speed at which we can invest in ourselves individually and become better at who we are. So Bill Gates didn't snooker anyone into buying Microsoft Windows. He created a resource that enhanced the quality of life for everyone on the planet. Now, if you were to follow what typically goes on in the societal communication system that we call the media, you would think that he was like, you know, the Antichrist in some ways. Anybody that's accumulated great wealth is sometimes cast that way. And we're not going to turn this into politics because that's not
where
we are.
Please don't, because that's not.
But what I'm saying is that's why it's important for you to be able to take stock of how you choose to view the world. And that's where I was going with this, is that the view scope that you choose to see events and what's happening around you very much determines what you experience, what you learn from them, and how that becomes part of your growth process.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I mentioned before how very different I am this March as opposed to March 3 years ago. And part of that has to do with how I saw myself and how I saw the world. Everything was always small and scarce and difficult and rare and hard to do. You know, I saw everything through the veil of chronic severe depression. You know, it was, I had no hope. I had no vision for the future. I attempted suicide because I didn't see any reason to stay here. And I believe that it's, you know, this introduction to the concept of abundance, to the concept and the theory and the realization and the manifestation, because I've seen it in my life, that there is more. There is more than the small vision that you're holding in front of you. And if you can take just this one small step and decide, you make a decision and it happens that fast at the speed of making that decision to say, I choose to look on the other side. I choose to look at the bright side, if you want to use a cliche. I choose to look for the good. I choose to look for the grace. I choose to look for the blessings. And that's kind of wrapping back to what I said before about the chemical definition of abundance. It is the measure of how common something is in a given environment. So I'll tell you, there was a day, I don't even remember when exactly, but, you know, I was running late for work because some bill collector had called and I had to talk to them. And, you know, I didn't really want to go to this job. It's not making me happy. But, you know, my kids got to eat. And so I could have chosen, you know, you get out of the bed and you're running late and you don't feel like going. And the bill collector calls and you can't find your shoe. And the cat just puked on the, you know, the bedroom carpet. And. So I walked out the door with tension in my shoulders and sort of this gray film over my eyes. And suddenly I just stopped. I stopped dead on the sidewalk in front of my building and I looked up, and it was just the most beautiful, perfect day. It was warm. The sky was like this gorgeous shade of blue. There were these fluffy clouds, and I just stood there on the sidewalk. And there's a part of my conscious brain that was saying, what in the heck are you doing? You're late for work. You got to go. You know, you can't afford to lose this job. You know, go, go, go. But something in my soul was saying, no, stand here. Drink in this moment. Recognize that the sun shining on your face and the air that you are breathing and the moment to just be still and be quiet and be grateful is what makes you wealthy. Is what gives you abundance.
That was an awakening for you. That's amazing that amongst all that turmoil that you were embracing at the time, that something reached out and said, there's another thing for you to focus your attention on, and you're missing it.
Yeah, and I think that's, if someone were to ask, how do you know what abundance is? I think that's what I would have to answer. You have to stop and take the time to recognize it because you already have it. It's always been there for you.
You know, and I'm glad that you looked up the different definitions of abundance, because I have a completely different understanding, a completely different view of what abundance is. At least, and again, this is for me. This is my own interpretation. But for me, abundance is not necessarily something where you're trying to quantify the scientific definition, meaning, you know, the prevalence of something in a particular, you know, area.
Oh, and just to be clear, we don't have an agenda here. Glenn and I have differing philosophies and thoughts and opinions on things, but it doesn't matter because we share them. We're not arguing. You're never going to hear an argument on this show. Just an honest exchange of ideas and information.
And that's a topic for another day also, because one of the things that's important about Mia's decision to do this podcast and to share from the heart the way that she is and invite me to join in that process is that we're just looking to get you to stop and think and to look at the world through a different lens. And you should be choosing your lens the same way that we've chosen ours. And, you know, I don't always see things through the exact same dimension or lens that Mia chooses, and vice versa. But in the sharing of what we view, we often find ourselves in a position to expand our thought process even further, because Mia will come up with something that I hadn't thought of, a perspective that I hadn't thought of. But because I'm open to her energy and I'm open to her perspective, it educates and gives me greater wisdom, because I am clearly not the master, all-time master of time, space, and dimension. So I'm always learning. But the way you learn is being open to other perspectives.
Absolutely. So with that being said, I'd love to hear your definition.
Yeah. And I don't even know if it's a definition, but it's, for me, abundance is a lifestyle choice. Mm-hmm. And what I mean by that is that you have abundance if you believe that you have abundance. And you believe you have abundance, that's a matter of faith. That's a matter of understanding, again, that what happens to you happens for you. Every morning that I get up, I don't have to look around and wonder if there's going to be good in my life today, because I'm there to create the good and find it. And see, the problem for most of us is that we look at life circumstances. We look at rush hour traffic. We look at, you know, we're involved in a car accident today. We look at whatever it is happening to us as fate, or as something that's negative, or as something that we were not truly desiring. But we don't understand that there must have been something in that that was designed to make us better at who we are and what we're doing. I know it's not always immediately apparent, but I can almost always look back on circumstances that I created in my past and see that, wow, if that had not happened, I would not have experienced this, and this is what made me who I am today. Now, it takes a high degree of maturity, a high degree of confidence, a high degree of faith to be able to see good in circumstances that appear to be relatively negative. But abundance, the lifestyle, or living in abundance for me, means that you are on the path. You are constantly on a journey for seeking the good and the things that cause you to grow, the things that inspire you, the things that ultimately move you forward in evolution. And we are, you know, we were meant to evolve. As human beings, our in my opinion, our role is to constantly seek growth, constantly seek evolution. And every experience that the universe brings our way is designed to add to that body of knowledge that we work from, for preparing us for the future. So a lot of times I believe that when something happens, it might appear to be negative, but it's designed to prepare you for what's coming. Maybe you need to grow some, you know, a little bit stronger in your persistence. So obstacles that are coming your way are designed to prepare you for something of greater significance. You know, I often say that, you know, your paycheck reflects the size of the problems you're able to solve. So when you encounter resistance, when you encounter obstacles, when you encounter problems, that may be designed to prepare you to strengthen yourself for something that's even bigger that's coming down the road.
And, you know, I love what you're saying, and I want to talk about resistance, because you are many years further down the path than I am.
And I appreciate you recognizing that, because now you basically said you're an old man.
I didn't say it that way.
You see how
you're just more experienced.
You see how I interpreted it? That was like a negative thing for some people. But you know what? I love being an old man for just the reason you said. I have experienced so much to this point in my life that I am a wealth of information for people who have not traveled as far as I have.
Yes.
And it gives me joy to be able to say, hey, I'm not telling you how you have to see this, but this is what I see in that situation. You may want to take another look at it yourself.
And let me tell you something. He never said it that nicely or that politically correct to me. Not once.
It's only because the microphones are on. I usually have a much different way of expressing that thought.
Yes, you do. Yes, you do. But, you know, the difference in our experience of resistance at this time is that Glenn really sees resistance in his life as, you know, a little speed bump for him to just roll over or step over. Whereas for me, my resistance tends to be like a little bit of a wall or, you know, those spiked barrier things that you see outside of federal buildings. But it all does come down to faith. And I am growing in my faith because I've been blessed to see the things that I've been resisting either disappear or manifest into what they were trying to teach me. Now, if
you're
listening...
Can I stop you there for a minute and ask you a question?
Yeah.
Because you just used two terms that's going to possibly have some people lose their concentration for what you're saying.
Oops.
You said faith and blessed. And I wanted to make it clear that you use those terms not in the context of religion, not in the context of any particular religious belief, but in the context of faith, meaning confidence and belief.
Yes.
And blessings, meaning good coming your way.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I consider myself a deist. I think that's the best way to explain me. I've explored several religions. I've gone to Mass on, you know, Christmas Eve with my Catholic friends. I've been to temple on the High Holy Days with my Jewish friends. You know, I've been exploring and seeking for a long time. But I think a deist is the easiest way to explain it because I believe in the great creator. I believe in something greater than myself that is also a part of myself. And that's going to blow some people's minds too. So send your questions and comments to feelgood@elementalabundance.com. But where I was going with this, I do choose to use the word faith, is because Glenn is further along the path. He's had more experience with seeing things for the good, for being able to look at things and going, oh, that's why this happened. What I wanted to say is, for those of you who are listening and you're brand new, you just figured out that there was a path, let alone that you're standing on it. I'm going to be honest. You know, that's the point of this show, is to be as honest and authentic and transparent as I can be, in order not just to help you, but to help myself. And I'm telling you straight up, it is not always going to be easy. I have been one of the most negative people you would never have wanted to meet. Part of that was depression. Part of that was upbringing. Part of that was experiences. But, you know, I saw the bad in everything for a very long time. And it takes work. I'm not going to lie. It takes effort. Because first and foremost, you have to be present. You have to catch those thoughts as soon as they come up. You have to catch them, recognize them for what they are, and go, okay, wait a minute. How can I shift this? So, for example, my little boy will tell you that he's heard all kinds of words come out of mommy's mouth because I have a little bit of an issue with road rage. Do not. If you live in Maryland, do not cut me off on 95 on a Friday afternoon when I'm trying to get somewhere.
That's why I like riding with you rather than riding in front of you.
I had a bad habit of getting angry, not just annoyed or frustrated, but angry. And cursing and raging and wishing bad things on the people around me. And it has taken work and effort and changing my mindset to, instead of say what I usually say, to say, you know what, bless you. You're going to get wherever you're going 10 minutes later because I'm not going to let you bother me today.
Well, that was true for me early in my life as well. When I say early in my life, I'm talking about, you know, I used to be very emotional. have a very emotional response in a negative way to things that would happen. It was a very quick temper.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where my criminal record started.
And he's an attorney, by the way.
But, yeah, fortunately, the nights I've spent in jail were usually with clients not not looking for a lawyer, but having someone look for me to be their lawyer. Anyway, the thing that's important, I think, in all that you just said is that, again, it's a mindset. You are being conditioned to view circumstances a certain way, and you, for whatever reason, at that point in time, were looking at them as being negative occurrences in your life. And, you know, someone's late in rush hour traffic and they arrive at a meeting later than they should have. But they didn't realize that, you know, had they not arrived, the meteor would have like fallen on their car and they don't even know that, you know, that kind of stuff. So there's, you know, this is why it's a mindset thing. You have to realize to put things into perspective. You know, most people are disappointed they arrive late at the meeting, but it's usually not in the any major consequence until you get there to realize, oh, meeting started late anyway. No one even knows I was late. In fact, yesterday, this happened to me yesterday. I thought I was late to go and do some video testimonials for a client. And I called her and left her a message because I had been stuck in rush hour traffic because of some little incidental accidents along the way. It took me 2.5 hours to travel what normally takes 1.5 hours.
Wow.
So I left on the right time and everything, but I was running late. And as it turned out, we were actually scheduled 30 minutes later, so I was actually early.
Oh, cool.
Now, if I had been festering over being late, I would have been in a bad mood when I got there, and I, you know, probably would have made, you know, just done some things that would have been out of character with putting that into perspective.
Right.
So the point is that, as it turned out, not only was that meeting supposed to start later than I had put it on my calendar, but then there were people who didn't show up themselves on time, so nobody even knew I was late.
Cool.
It wasn't like there was a lobby full of people waiting for me, you know. But I could have had a negative attitude all the way over there. Instead, I just allowed myself to travel the path. I got there when I got there, and everything worked out just fine. In fact, it worked out better than fine.
And I think that's possibly the key to changing your mindset, is when you expect good, you get good.
And it's hard for people to picture that.
It is. It was hard for me.
Yeah, when you're sitting there with your water bill due and your electric bill due and the mortgage is due and the car payment is due and the only thing is not due is that there's none due to you, it's hard to have faith. But the truth is that, you know, being able to create a positive picture in your mind of what you want and to pay less attention to the things that you don't want is what changes that result. And people, they don't understand that. It's not
because
what
it is a lifetime of conditioning that you have to change in an instant by an instant by an instant by an instant. And it takes dedication. You talked about faith and, you know, and belief and lifestyle, but it also takes practice. I think that's the thing that you really have to keep in mind. You know, abundance, it's not an end result. It's a process, a continuing process.
Mm-hmm.
You know, every time something happens, you have a choice. Oh, my God. My late father used to drive me up a freaking wall with this because he's like, well, you always have a choice. Really? Because you told me I had to go to school. You told me that if I came back after midnight, you were going to lock the door and I'd have to sleep outside. You know, so where was my choice? And he's like, you always had choice. You just had to choose which consequence you were going to accept.
Exactly. And so even in that teaching, because I know that, you know, there were days where your father was not your favorite person on the planet.
At all.
But now that you look back on that, you realize the truth in that. You see, people like to make choices regardless of what the consequences are. They want to be relieved of responsibility for the consequences so that they can make the choice without any repercussion. But every choice has a cause and effect. I mean, every choice is a cause, and every cause has an effect. And the effect are the consequences. Sometimes those are perceived as good. Sometimes they're perceived as bad. But every cause has an effect. And you just have to understand that life is about accepting the effects of the choices that you make.
Not just accepting the effects, but accepting the responsibility. Because as you said a while back, you know, the things that happen to you happen for you, but you have to take responsibility for the things that happen for you. And you have to take responsibility for the choices that you make. So, you know, the whole message here today is choose abundance. Choose to be happy. Choose to be positive. Choose to give. Choose to be of service. Choose to change yourself in order to change the world. And I'm using that deliberately because that is actually Glenn's personal philosophy.
That's actually my personal legacy for humanity. That's what Village Connector Media and what we do here is all about. That's why this podcast is such a perfect fit for our mission, which is helping people to evolve and participate in the evolution of humanity. And, you know, I think back to when we first met, and I think that you would probably characterize yourself as having been a mess back then, emotionally and other ways.
Yeah, mentally, spiritually.
And
I was lost.
And it was apparent in your effect as people would interact with you. We could see that you were under you had something on your mind that was trouble. You could see it in your eyes some days. And the thing that was really kind of direct evidence, if you will, of the fact that you have evolved over the past 2 years, 3 years now, was some comments were made by people that you and I know in common recently. You have this query look on your face.
I probably have a quizzical look on my face because I'm like, I'm not sure what you're referring to.
I'm not going to mention these people, but I am going to mention what they said to you.
Okay.
One of them said, "Did you lose weight?"
Oh, that, yeah.
And you said, no.
I wish.
And they said, "Well, you look really happy." And that is, in my opinion, the outward manifestation of your shift in mindset. Because in a lot of ways, you're starting to address some of these so-called negative things that were happening in your life. But you're not like on the other side in everything at this point. But you are making such strident progress because of your belief, because you have begun doing things in faith in a certain way, being certain that you're on the right track, embracing it and putting your energy behind it, being persistent because you know that if you focus on the positive, it's coming your way. You know how to create that now.
Yes.
And that's why people see you with what they perceive as being the sky falling sometimes, because somebody always has the sky falling around them. It's just a matter of how they choose.
Life is drama.
To prop it up. Exactly. So I can't remember who was the other person. You won't mention my name, but what was the other thing that they said?
The other person was a writing friend that I
That's
meet
right.
every Tuesday night.
That's right.
And she, there's just something so special about her because I go there every time we're supposed to be talking about writing and we always end up having personal discussions, which makes her just such a great friend. And this particular Tuesday, in fact, it was last Tuesday.
That's right.
I said, you know, all right, I'm going to put her first because she just got back from a great vacation, you know, girlfriend trip with, you know, her best friend from Boston. They went to Disney World. I'm going to put her first. I'm going to listen. I'm going to share. I'm going to enjoy her experience. And I walked up and she had a quizzical look on her face. And then she stood up and hugged me. I'm like, what was that look for? And she's like, I got to find out what that smile is about.
But she detected, she sensed your energy was different. She knew that there was something emanating from you that was very different energetically than it had been in the past.
And that was after only 2 weeks of not seeing each other. Within 2 weeks, she even noticed a difference.
Yeah. And when you told me those two, and they were two separate because one of them
they're two separate people.
Almost a week or two apart.
Yeah.
I knew that you were on the right track, and it made my heart sing because, you know, sometimes you can, and I'll tell you, in the beginning, when we first started chatting about personal development and I was, you know, giving you some guidance and all that.
I rejected a lot of stuff and
you knew that. You would smile and put on a happy face in here and, okay, I'm going to believe in abundance.
Oh, my God. I'm going to smack him. He's doing an impersonation of me right now.
I'm doing all these motions and everything that she does.
I talk with my hands when I'm excited. Accept it.
And you may remember there were a couple times where you did that and I said to you, and when you believe that, it will happen. And you kind of looked at me like,
"I thought Glenn was full of crap.
Who the heck are you to say that to me?" Kind of thing.
Yep.
And that's how it was for you, because it takes a true embracing of the concepts as opposed to just mechanically chanting certain lines and affirmations. Affirmations have a role and they help, but you have to really believe that it's going to work.
And that is all the that made all the difference. I mean, it made the only difference. It made the only difference that mattered. You know, Glenn's been recommending books, and I've been reading things on my own, and I'm listening to people's presentations, and, you know, watching YouTube videos, and I'm doing all of these things to enhance my life and self-help and, you know, et cetera, et cetera. But until I wasn't just parroting these words back, until I was articulating them, not even from my head, definitely not from my head, and not even from my heart, but until I really truly embraced all of this deep into my soul and spoke back out from my soul, that is when my life really just flipped around and said, okay, you want good, here it comes. Yeah. I hope you're ready.
You get up in the morning now and it's all right, bring it on.
Yes,
you know?
Yes. And I wake up. I mean, my God, the day that the ambulance came and the paramedics were pulling me off the floor, I never would have imagined. Never ever would have imagined, and I'm a creative person, never would have imagined that I would wake up and go, I love my life.
Mm-hmm.
And like I said, there are people who think I'm like batshit crazy because what do you mean you love your life? You don't have this, you don't have that, you don't have this. And all I can do is smile at them because I know I have love. I have certainty. I have abundance.
And one of the other things that you have that we kind of touched on before is that you are moving in a definitive direction because you've got a plan. And your plan may not manifest immediately, but you're seeing the manifestation of it.
You know, I have to laugh because Glenn's known me for over 2.5 years now, and he knows how very often and how very differently my plans change. So I might have had success and abundance in my life a lot sooner if I didn't keep changing the blueprints.
Well, you know, but even then, I'm going to disagree with you a little bit there. You were exploring back then. It was important for you to experience some things so that you could decide what to focus on. And so even that was for the good. You see, back when you were first introduced to some of these principles, you didn't have a plan because you didn't know that you should. You didn't have a focus because you didn't know that you should. Dr. Hill talks about people being drifters because they don't have a definite chief aim, something that they're focused on trying to accomplish. So they just get up in the morning and they let life's winds blow them in whatever direction it chooses.
May I ask you, if you're willing, to share what your definite chief aim is, because that's kind of a big concept. And for anyone who's not familiar with Dr. Hill, they're going to be like, what the heck is he talking about?
All right. So, and I don't know that I express this in exactly the same verbiage. I just know what's in my heart. But my goal, my definite chief aim, my legacy for humanity, I actually call it my paramount purpose. It's no longer just a definite chief aim, because a definite chief aim can actually be a very short term, very micro focus type thing, or it can be something really big. And I started off with very definitive, definite chief aims, just little goals, you know, get me from this one to the next one. But I've become comfortable with the concept enough now to really declare what I really want my life to be about, what I really want people to remember, what I really want to stand for. And that is creating an environment where people can come together and grow together and literally participate in the evolution of humanity by investing in themselves to be better at who they are and what they do, and contributing their talents and their energy and their wisdom to a pool where everyone benefits, everyone evolves. And that's why teaching is so important for me. That's why creating an environment, that's why the television channel, thanks to you in large part, by getting me focused on being a teaching channel, not just a entertainment or information channel generally. We're focused on helping to deliver information that helps everyone to evolve and then participate in that process of evolution in the evolution of humanity. I truly believe that humanity will accelerate the pace at which it evolves when we all individually understand the role that we play in that. And it starts with us seeking out our own evolutionary path and being in the company of others who are on that journey. And that's why Elemental Abundance is so perfect, because we're basically inviting people to join this journey that we all can participate in. And so for me, my legacy for humanity is to contribute to humanity in a way where I'm creating the circumstances that allow humanity to evolve by having other people join and become part of that.
Now, if you're listening to this and you're feeling intimidated by the scope of Glenn's paramount purpose, I want you to know I feel the exact same way. This man is such a treasure to me and to everyone who knows him, because he doesn't just think big. He thinks humongous. And, you know, now would be the time where, you know, I share my definite chief aim and it's all, you know, about world peace. But the truth of it is, Glenn's vision is bigger. Therefore, his paramount purpose is bigger. My definite chief aim is to be able to take care of myself and my son. That's my smaller, most immediate definite chief aim. And beyond that, my definite chief aim is a little bit nebulous. I just want to be extraordinary for the people in my life, and I want to be the best version of myself that I can be. Now, do I have a plan for that? I'm working on it. But I'm going to get there because I'm willing to make the decision to look for good and expect good. I'm willing to change my mindset moment by moment to make sure that I'm always on the positive side, on the giving side, on the receiving side, on the sharing side, on the service side. And I'm willing to invest in myself by having more conversations, reading more books. And if you haven't seen the video, The Secret, it's several years old now. Rhonda Byrne wrote this book, and then she also created the video for it.
I think she actually created the video first. I think the came before the book.
That's really interesting, because I read the book first. I did it backwards. Mm-hmm. But, you know, this elemental abundance comes down to the final message at the end of that film, where Rhonda Byrne writes a message in the sand at the beach, and it says, "Feel good." It sounds simplistic because it's almost too easy. But if you make the decision, if you choose, hey, I'm standing on the path, I'm going to start walking it and see where it takes me, then all you have to do is choose to feel good in each moment. That is not easy, because, like, when I'm tired or hungry, I get cranky, I lose my temper. Glenn will tell you, you know, I was frustrated. What was it, last week?
I feed you well when you come down.
Yeah, that's true, too. But I guess it was about a week ago. Man, it's like this one software program was not integrating into the back end of the website. I was extremely frustrated because I'd tried several different things. I was starting to lose my temper, and I definitely had a bad attitude. And I chose in that moment, it's like, okay, I need to feel good. And in order to feel good, I need to walk away from this blank computer. But Glenn said something to me that just, oh my gosh, just touched my heart, and it meant so much to me. He said, "I love your grumpiness because it reminds me of your humanity."
Wow. And, you know, sometimes those things come out and you don't realize the impact that they're having on somebody. But, you know, again, that's another one of those things where when you reflect, you were given value that day.
I was absolutely given value. Absolutely. Because it gave me permission to be human. And because of your acceptance, it also, like, okay, wait, I can switch this around now. You know, there was something else my dad used to say, and for reasons I'm not going to get into here, I had a lot of reasons not to believe him. But he used to tell me all the time, you don't have to grow up alone. And I think that's the message behind my intention for this podcast. You don't have to grow into yourself alone.
That's beautiful. What a wonderful thought. And that's what, for me, my paramount purpose is to make sure people have a place to grow together. So it's so, that's why what you do is so in harmony with everything that I stand for. And I want to talk with you for just a minute about your definite chief aim, because you expressed it in a way that somewhat made it subordinate to what my big picture, paramount purpose, big thought was.
And that was deliberate. I wanted anybody who's listening to know that theirs doesn't have to be as big as yours. It just has to be theirs.
And that's what I wanted to emphasize, because I didn't want anyone to think that yours was somehow less significant or less important than mine. Your paramount purpose, your definite chief aim is perfect for where you are right now. Mine didn't start out that way. I didn't start out with this grandiose, you know,
beautiful
thing that I wanted to leave for humanity. I started out with wanting to survive.
Yeah.
Wanting to do some things to turn, you know, at the time that I first was introduced to these principles in earnest, I was struggling with who I was. I was struggling with remaking myself. I had decided to close my law firm because I hated what I was doing at the time. Didn't hate the people that I was working with. I just hated what I did for a living. It left me with an emptiness that I can't explain other than to say that it didn't make me feel good. And so I literally had to go cold turkey and start to do something completely different that got me completely out of my comfort zone, because I'd never done it before. I'd always been a lawyer for 20 years. So for me, I just wanted to start out by being able to replace the income that I made from the practice of law so that I could maintain the same standard of living. I had kids and a family then and all that kind of stuff. So my belief, my paramount purpose evolved over the years. It became what it is today. It wasn't something I just woke up one day and had and have been working towards it ever since. It evolved as I evolved. As the wisdom I accumulated started to become more available to me, I saw that I could have a bigger impact, and that I should push myself to achieve more and to achieve more in a way that benefited others. So right now, your definite chief aim is perfect for where you are and who you are, and it's going to evolve. So just be open to receiving the opportunity for that evolution to take place, because it's going to. You have not been blessed with the ability to understand these principles to leave yourself where you are today. You're going to evolve to the point where taking care of your son and yourself is just a byproduct of you helping others. And Zig Ziglar said this in the most profound way, in the most effective way I've ever heard it said: if you help enough people get what they want, you will have everything that you want. And that is absolutely true if you understand the essence of what he said. If you help enough people get what they want, and that's what we're doing through Village Connector, and that's what you're doing through Elemental Abundance, you will have everything that you want. And it won't even be something that you have to consciously think about. You're creating the circumstances and the conditions that are going to result in your having everything you want. You're going to look back and you're going to try to figure out, where did that happen? And it happened when you started giving more, and you're already on that journey. You give in so many ways to so many people right now that your abundance account, if you want to measure it, is so full that you probably need like the Federal Reserve to contain it at this point.
And it's interesting that you say that, because I don't recognize it. It's still really hard for me to accept compliments. It's still really hard for me to see myself the way that the people in my inner circle see me, because I've seen myself so differently for so long. But I had a conversation with our mutual friend Renee Canale about a month ago, and she keeps talking about this flow thing, and that's a conversation for another day. But, you know, I said, I feel like I take so much from the people around me. I feel like Glenn is always giving to me. Renee is always giving to me. Susan, Mark, you know, so many people in my life, I feel like they're always giving to me, and all I do is take. And Renee said, that's because you're in flow. And I'm like, God, there you go again with the stupid flow thing. I feel like a salmon trying to swim up Niagara Falls, and you're talking about flow. But what she pointed out to me made me, you know, look at and try to recognize is what I didn't understand, in her opinion, was I feel like I'm always taking and always getting because I keep giving my own away.
That, and I also have a slightly different interpretation of that that's in harmony with what Renee told you, but she's absolutely right. When you create a void, obviously the void gets filled. And so your void is being filled by others because of what you do give. But here's the other thing. You have to realize that every time someone gives to you, you're already giving back to the extent that you receive it well. You know what I mean by that?
No, because we had this conversation a couple days ago about me not receiving things well.
Okay. So sometimes you need to be reminded when someone does something that helps you, instead of being in a position where you feel guilty.
Obligated.
No, that's right. That's right. Giving doesn't create obligation. Giving gives the opportunity to be in gratitude. And when you are truly grateful for something someone has done for you, it's not a sense of obligation. It's not a I do scratch your back, you scratch mine type of situation. When you are truly in your heart grateful for something somebody has done and you express that gratitude, you have already given back to them. Because if someone is giving unconditionally, they're not expecting anything back from you. It's not a condition like I'll do this for you if you do this for me. I mean, that happens too. But true giving is about being there to satisfy someone's needs just for the sake of knowing that that was the right thing. The reason other people are giving to you is because their cup has been filled and they are there because your cup now needs to be filled and they're in a position to help to fill it. So that's why I said the universe is perfect in bringing the circumstances, the resources, the people into your life to give you what you need right now. So when you're not receiving well, you're basically telling the universe, you know, regardless of what I said, don't bring this stuff to me. And that's very confusing to the universe because you say, hey, you said you wanted this.
Wow. And you know. that's going to be a whole podcast all on its own.
Yeah. Think about this. Let's break this down with a metaphor that everyone or an analogy that everyone can understand. You go on to Amazon and you make a purchase and you know that you want that purchase to be delivered as quickly as it can possibly be. And the UPS guy knocks on the door and then you decide not to answer the door. You asked for something and now you're pushing it away. That's what you do when you don't receive it well. When was the last time a package was delivered and you weren't excited about it? So when someone gives you their time, their support, their energy, whatever it might be excited about it and share that excitement with them. I mean, how many times you see the UPS guy get a hug?
Yeah.
Or the UPS gal, for that matter. You know, because they're excited to get that package or whatever. So be excited when someone does decide to invest. They didn't have to give you anything at all. So when they do, be excited. Receive it well. Don't feel guilty. Don't feel a sense of obligation. If you have to be obligated to be grateful and express that gratitude.
Oh, wow.
But don't even be obligated there either. That's the point. The energy is not about obligation. It's about they shared with me and now it's up. And now it's my opportunity. This is my opportunity to give back by expressing with them how I feel. Wow. You know, what you comment, your invitation for me to be on this podcast with you is making my heart sing in ways that I just can't express in words. And you know that. As much as I like to talk, there are some times where I am speechless. And when you ask me to be part of this project, because I know how much this means to you. I mean, I talk with you every day about your personal development journey, and I'm just so inspired to see how seriously you've embraced this. But your decision to ask me to be on here with you, it really was something that made my heart sing. And that's why I take it very seriously. That's why I support it. You're thinking I'm supporting you because I love Mia, and I do. But the truth is that this is my way of expressing how grateful I am that you invited me to be part of a big part of your life and something that was really important. Because there's only a ton of people out here that you could have invited to be here. And there will be other people, of course, that will be involved. But to have me here on the very first episode of this podcast meant the world to me. And I want to express my gratitude for that right now, just to be practicing eating my own cooking here. Because I don't ever want it to be. I don't ever want there to be any doubt in your mind that I appreciate you on so many different levels that it's not even possible to express it in words, which is why I feel compelled to express it in deeds by being there as your friend, being there as your mentor, being there as your supporter, just whatever it
my
is that you need
mate,
at the time.
My traveling companion.
Your IHOP partner and your Chipotle amigo.
Yeah, I like what you just said about appreciation as well, because that's part of the process and the practice. You have to appreciate what you have. if you are not grateful for the things that you already have in your life, the universal UPS guy is not going to bring you anything more because you're not grateful for what you've already got. Therefore, you're not going to be grateful for the bigger, the better, the more.
Exactly. And again, that could be a topic that you could discuss.
That could be a huge topic
for
yeah.
an entire year without straying into anything else, and still not have covered it in the level that you need to. But
right.
on that note, of course, we could be here for another. We've been here for a full hour and 9 minutes right now, and we could be here for another hour and 9 minutes and just keep
talking easily.
But you
but
all
instead,
have other things to do.
Exactly, and I'm just going to invite you to have another conversation with me next time.
Wow, this has been wonderful, and thank you for giving me the opportunity to be here with you, Mia.
Thank you for giving me the space to expand who I am. I think that's really what you do for me. You expand me, and I appreciate that. And I hope that, you know, this is not coming from a place of arrogance. And as you get to know me, as you keep listening, hopefully you'll know that I am being authentic. I am so incredibly hopeful that somewhere out there, you're listening to the sound of my voice, and that what you come away with is hope. Hope for me has been an acronym for a very long time. In the midst of my worst depressions, hope stood for hang on, pain ends. But now I have a different definition for that. And for me, hope stands for help other people evolve. So this isn't me trying to be arrogant. As I said at the beginning, I'm a student. I'm learning. I'm exploring. And I'm doing the best I can, which is just lifting other people as I climb. So with that in mind, I just want you to know that if you've been listening to the messages and not just hearing the messengers, give us a call. Give us an email, give us a shout out, give us whatever. We welcome questions and comments in our Facebook community at facebook.com/elementalabundance. Or you can send us a message directly to feelgood@elementalabundance.com. And there's something that I want you to have. I had this crazy morning. I am not a morning person. Morning for me should not start until like 11:30, because that's how long I would stay in bed if it was my choice. But something woke me up at 6:30 about a week ago. I mean, the sun wasn't even up yet. I didn't want to get out of bed, but I was compelled to get out of bed and create something that I want to give you as a gift. So if you go to elementalabundance.com/feelgood, you're going to find an opportunity to get on our mailing list and get the messages that we send out occasionally. We promise we won't spam you. And hopefully you're going to want the things that we send you. But you'll also be able to download a copy of the periodic table of elemental abundance that I created. And I hope that that is something that you benefit from, because that's going to be basically the topics of these podcasts as we go along.
Fantastic. What an incredible gift. I'm going to get on that mailing list right now.
So thank you so much, Glenn, for being here. And for everyone listening, blessed be.